Hello, everybody. It's good to see everybody on Zoom. Before I get into the sermon, as we were worshiping, just a thought that I had as a congregation, if we could just prepare ourselves in prayer again. There's different things that happen during the week, maybe in the family, at work, at things that really bother you, maybe politics and just so many different things going on, the pandemic. And we kind of we want to overcome those things, maybe somebody, it's good reason, so that we'll feel better, so that for our family, so that you will do better at work. All those things are a good reason. But as a church, number one reason is so that, God, I want to overcome those things so that I can love you more. God, I want to love you more. And so let's just, if you could, as a church, come together and proclaim that as a church. Lord, the conflict, I want to overcome it because I want to love you more. My weariness and fatigue, I want your rest so that I can love you more. The anger, I don't want it to affect me, because when that happens, I lose focus of you, Lord. But I don't want to lose focus of you, God. As a church, want to love you more. I want to follow the greatest commandment in the Bible, to love my God, my Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's good to see you. The title of the sermon is God Remains in You. Right? God Remains in You. It's from John chapter 15, verse 4. If you could turn to the Bible, John chapter 15, verse 4. It says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. And remain in me, and I will remain in you. John 15, the illustration that Jesus used is the vine and the branch illustration, how the vine is God, you're the branch, and we need to be connected together. That connection, remaining in God, and God remaining in us, it's talking about a relationship. It's talking about intimacy. It's about love relationship. And to have that love relationship, in the context is about prayer. And it's a two-way communication, that you remain in God and God remains in you. Prayer, is a conversing with God, remaining in God. But prayer is also, God to us. Okay? It's also hearing from God, being touched by God, God remaining in you. And during the storm, you might be thinking, I'm not that hopeful, wondering if the problem you're facing will ever work out. Things seem dark. You feel maybe defeated and no idea what to do next. In those times, who you listen to is very important. Okay, what you listen to is very important. You can listen to the popular opinion. You could listen to, people listen to money. You could listen to things that's not good in your heart, like resentment or fear, pride, lust, temptation, anger. The Church of Philippi in the book of Philippians was going through persecution, was going through storm. There was fear and uncertainties. And Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Paul writes, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Okay, that's the first part, meaning remain in God. Okay, pray about everything. Remain in God. And you see the other part. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God remains in you. Right? Paul emphasized this, two-way communication with God. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, every situation, pray, remain in God, and God, and then God will also touch you. God moves in you. God speaks to you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. Today, I've been praying a lot, but what the Lord's been emphasizing is the other part, God speaking to us, God speaking to me, hearing the voice of God. And John chapter 10, verse 27, this is specifically, I feel, for our church. God wants to speak to us. Right? God wants to speak to us. It says, my sheep listens to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The sheep listens to the true shepherd. Jesus calls his own sheep. The sheep follow the shepherd because they know his voice. Right? And in verse 5 in John 10, it says, the sheep will not follow a stranger's voice because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Right? And I want to encourage you, Catalyst, we know the voice of God. Okay? We know the voice of God. And in verse 16 in John chapter 10, it says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Okay? And I believe this is talking about the future Gentile believers. This is what that's how I interpret that passage. And who is that? That's us. Okay? That's us. It's talking about all believers. Right? And how do you know the real believers from those who are not believers? It says, Jesus says, they too will listen to my voice. They too will listen to my voice. This verse also talks about the importance of listening to his voice. And then he says, talks about this unity that we have as a Christian. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. Okay? How are we going to be unified? It's not because of denomination. It's not because, we have theological discussion and agree, with every doctrine. It comes down to us in this passage, in this verse, it comes down to us learning to hear the voice of the Lord. Right? Learning to hear the voice of the Lord. And the mark of a disciple in John chapter 10, verse 27, you hear his voice, he knows you, okay? And then you follow him. How can we follow him if he can't hear, if he don't know his voice? Yeah. In this passage, the mark of a disciple is not a denomination. It's not being a Protestant or Catholic, Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Assembly of God. I could go on and on and on, right? Jesus says believers will come from many different places. And what singles them out from all the people from different places, they hear the voice of the Lord, right? Jesus knows them, and they follow Jesus. Okay? And so, and all those things happen. How do you know God? Okay? We need to communicate. We need to be able to hear him. Okay? And how do you follow him? Well, we need to be able to hear him. But, I know somebody here, but Pastor Sam, there's a lot of confusion about hearing the voice of God, and there is, and it's because but I just want to go back to the Bible, how Jesus sees this. The Lord Jesus Christ leads us to believe that hearing his voice is not that unusual. Yes, in the perfect world, we would not be confused about the voice of God. But we don't live in a perfect world, and you and I are not perfect. The big problem is we don't know or are poor at hearing the voice of God. Why? Because we mistake it for our own voice. Right? There's voice of pressure. There's voice of circumstances. There's voice of emotions, voice of our own thought. And there's, because we live in a broken world, there's lies, there's shame, there's guilt, there's pride, and there's demonic realm, that the demons lie to us. And so, what we feel, what we think, what we want, what we pursue, and we say, it is God leading, God talking to us. We're hearing God's voice. And we make our own voice the voice of God. Our own desire becomes God's voice. So what happens? A bitter person will say, God is angry with you. A depressed person will say, God is far away. A critical person will say, God is harsh and unloving. A fearful person will say, God is not with us. A hurt person will say, God is not good. So we want to avoid this. I believe Catalyst. We're not that kind of group of people. But we want to avoid this. But at the same time, because of the brokenness and because of the demonic, we're not supposed to avoid hearing the voice of God. Deuteronomy 28, the Bible says, if you hear the voice of God, there is blessing. Okay? If you hear the wrong voice, the opposite will happen. There will be curses that will overtake you. Okay? And so, yes, there are a lot of wrong voices, but that's not supposed to make us not, be fearful about hearing the voice of God. There's both. But as a church in Catalyst, we desire, we want to hear the clear voice of God. And even though this world's broken, even though there's lies, because that's the hope, that we truly hear the voice of God. But I'm going to go through some of the teachings, some of the foundational teaching to recognize God's voice, okay? To recognize God's voice. And so because we live in a broken world, we need to follow some of these principles in hearing the voice of God. Number one, we all know this, when you feel like you're hearing God's voice, right? You're hearing God's voice, you need to ask, does it agree with the Bible? Okay? Does it agree with the Bible? And in this time of storm, that's why in Catalyst right now, we're emphasizing the Bible a lot, because the Bible says about itself, when there's a storm, when we know the Bible and when we love the Bible, when we practice it, okay, the house will remain standing. The house will remain standing. We could rely on, during this time, a better technology, a better way of streaming, a better way of meeting together through virtually. Well, there's a better way for our church. The house needs to be on the foundation, on the Word of God. Okay? And no matter what the storm comes then, say the internet, I don't know, something happens and it goes out for months. Well, those who rely on streaming, they're in trouble. They're in big trouble. But if this church is on the foundation of the Word of God, doesn't matter what storm comes. Okay? This house will remain standing. This house will remain standing. The Bible testimony about itself is that all scripture is inspired by God. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16 is inspired by God. God is the author of all scripture, and God will never contradict himself. Therefore, God's voice will never contradict with scripture. Right? You know, God's voice will never tell you to violate, ignore, or rebel against scripture. You know, Luke 21, verse 33 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." You know, if you want to discern and learn how to hear God's voice, you have to know and meditate and study scripture as a church. When I was in the charismatic circle, you know, there are so many people that don't know scripture, but they say, "God said this, God said this, God." And well, that contradicts scripture. I don't know, you know. And see, there's no way around this. If you don't know scripture, you will always be confused about the voice of God. You'll always be confused about the voice of God. Psalm 119, if you know, is the longest chapter in the Bible, right? You know, it says the Bible will shed light on every situation. It makes me wiser, you know. It gives more insight. It gives me understanding. It keeps me from every evil path. Through Scripture, God teaches me. You know, and if read that chapter, you go, you know, and on about, you know, how important the scripture is, right? And so to recognize the voice of God, this church needs to be on the foundation of the Word of God. And the church said, amen. Number two, okay, whatever, you know, you're saying, "God said this to me," you know, does it make me more like Christ, what you're hearing from the Lord? Or is it just you, you know, you know, more like you? It doesn't make me more like Christ. You know, God's purpose is to make you and I more like Jesus. Right? This is the, you know, sanctification process that we're going through right now as believers. Jesus is the standard for which we need to evaluate, you know, every thought, idea, our philosophy, our opinion, our trends, our fads, right? What does God desire, right? And if you're, you know, in college, you know, you say, "God wants me to get good grades." You know, "God wants me to have an A in biology. That's a priority. Get really good grade." But to do that, I need to cheat. You know, I need to have some cheat sheet here, you know, to get that good grade. You know, so what is God's will? To get an A in biology or you don't cheat, right? If it is God's will that you don't cheat rather than get an A in biology by cheating, right? How do I know that? Because Jesus doesn't cheat. You know, he won't cheat. That's being more like Christ. What does God desire, you know, that you make a lot of money to buy whatever you want, or the Bible says, be generous to be helpful for, you know, what's, you know, my God's goal in life is that I make a lot of money, but, you know, I don't care about being generous, you know, or helping other people in need. You know, what's God's will? God wants you to be generous. Okay. Why? Jesus was generous. What does God desire? That you be bitter, angry, unforgiving, or a life of grace, joy, and forgiveness? Okay. Well, that's easy. You know, God wants us to be gracious, you know, have joy, be joyful always, you know, always be forgiving. Why? Because Jesus is gracious. Jesus is joyful. Jesus is forgiving. More than what you can do, God cares about what's going on inside of you. Your parents might care about what's going on outside, you know, how you look, the image, what you drive, you know, the size of your house. But God cares about what's going on inside of you. Yeah. And what is going on inside of you, God wants you to be more like Christ. More like Christ. You know, the world's way in the church is just look good on the outside, but don't care about what's going on in the inside. No, what's in on the inside, it is God's will that we be more like Christ. And living in this broken world, we can become more like the devil. This is the battle that we're going through. Or we can be refined, you know, through the failures, the brokenness, and the trial to become more like Christ. We have a choice. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial, the Bible says we could be tempted or we could be built up. Right? Let's choose to be built up to be more like Christ. Let's choose to transform. Let's choose to be renewed to be more like Christ. And the church said, okay. And this is important. Okay. Number three, does my church family confirm it? Okay. Does my church family confirm it? Ephesians 3:10. This is the role that we have in the church. His intent was that now, through the church, it says, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Okay. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known. You know, this is God's plan. This is God's plan. Through the church, God's wisdom, God's will should be made known. You know, if you went through the life group material last week, some life groups are behind, so I know that. You know, it was talking about the canon of the church. And the early church believed that, you know, the divine guidance of the Holy Spirit, and they decided what is the true canon in that time, you know, because through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Right? When you are seeking the will of God, you know, what fleshly, our human tendency, you know, is to find somebody who will agree with you, right? And avoid the people who won't disagree with you. That's our human tendency. Now, what this the Bible says is you need counsel. If you really want to know the will of God, you need counsel of mature and godly believers. Right? You need, you know, not immature, you know, not worldly, but mature and godly believers. In the Proverbs 11, verse 9 says, the wisdom of the righteous can save you. The wisdom of the righteous can save you. You know, you were not meant to live all alone. You know who's the most scary people? You know, it's the cult. You know why? The cult leader said, God only speaks to me. Huh? Yeah, you don't know. I know. Yeah. And they become a cult leader. Yeah. You're not meant to live all alone. Everyone needs godly friends. Right? We make the greatest mistake in seeking God's will because we don't have godly friends. We need to, so in Catalyst, we need to build that godly relationship. Right? Not because of the activities that the church has. You know, this is why we encourage you to go to, you know, it's not easy building relationship. It's one of the hardest thing. Right? If it was easy, you know, I wish you could just put money in a vending machine and comes out good relationship. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy. And so know that it's not easy, but it is so worthwhile. When we build a strong community, when we build accountability, you know, we build each other up, right? We have unity, there's love for one another, we will know the will of God. Right? If you go to a church where they don't like each other, they said, God wants us to do this. God wants us. It's all very worldly and fleshly. It's not God. But when we learn to love each other more and more, we will speak life into one another. We will speak truth to one another, right? Even though you might not like, me or something, because of love, you speak truth. And because of that love for one another, we will know the will of God. Okay, we will know the will of God. Number four, is it consistent with how God has made you uniquely? Okay, is it consistent with how God has made you uniquely? In Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Before we were born, God placed in our heart a specific gifting, calling, and purpose, different personality, different shape, different, we're all unique, right? We're all unique. God formed you and shaped you to a specific purpose. To accomplish this specific purpose, God gives you specific spiritual gift, specific heart ability, personality, and even experience and history. The way God formed you, follows the function to, example, for example, I have this mic that I'm using. It has different function, different form, different shape. The inside is different from this computer or something. And I'm not going to use this mic to wash dishes. Okay, it's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. Why? It wasn't made for that purpose. It wasn't made for that purpose. If you are gifted musically, God wants to use you musically. Oh, I see some people like, I can't, I'm tone deaf. Some they could, they, and they go, oh, God doesn't want to use me in that way. No, if you're gifted musically, there's a reason God gave you that gift, right? There's a reason God gave you that gift. On the other hand, I see this happen too over the history of being a Christian. They can't carry a tune, right? And they tell me that God called them to be a worship leader. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Some people are good at business and some are not, God made you that way. If you're not good at business, and you feel God wants you to go into business, that might not be God, but maybe, something that's coming from yourself. Some people they can relate and love children. Please seek the Lord about children. I don't mean your own children. There's some people God just placed love for kids. But the problem is, I think people in the church are not really seeking that. Is that what God made me? And so the worst thing we could do for children ministry is put people as teachers, then they don't like children. That's not good. That will not be good for our church. Okay. Then help out with the children ministry. Grow that gift. Music, there's worship ministry. Leadership, if you feel like you have the gift of leadership, work with people. Try to build a team. Walk out a vision. Try to walk out the vision that, God placed in your heart. To serve others. Oh, that is a beautiful gift. That gift you could you we could use that in so many different ministries in the church if you have a gift of serving. Many tell us that I don't know if you people say you can be anybody that you want to be. I don't think that's true. That's not true. There are a lot of things, if I'm honest with myself, that I cannot do, and I accept it. And I have peace about it. Number one, I can't be an opera singer. Okay? No matter how hard I try, I don't have that gift. I can't be Michael Jordan. I guess, again, I don't have that gifting. I'm not shaped that way. I don't have the bone structure. I don't have a big hand. I could go on and on and on. I'm not fast. I'm not coordinated. And I could go on and on and on why, I can't be Michael Jordan. There are things that I know I'm not good at. Things break in the house. And I try to fix it, and usually I break something. I try to fix it, and my old house, duct tape was so important, because I would just break things, but if I try to be someone I am not, I will be miserable. I will be miserable. God is not going to go against your shape, the way that he designed you. When I went to college, I major in pharmacy. And if you know me, I'm not that detailed. You got to know the different colors of the pills, and you got to know all the structure. It was so detailed, and it was so hard for me. The only reason I went into pharmacy is because to please my parents, And they didn't even know what that was, pharmacy. They just heard from a friend said pharmacy is really good to do. And so they came home one day, Sam, you're going to be a pharmacy major, but if I have to do it over, speak to Sam in college before he went to college, if I had to do over, I would, focus on building leadership, my prophetic gift, teaching, and even counseling, because over time, that's what I realized that God shaped me. When I do those things, I grow in it. I continuously grow in it. I get better at it. I get better at it. If you do something that's not according to God's purpose and shape and what he has placed in you, you have a very low ceiling. You have a very low ceiling. And you'll be miserable. And so, if you're seeking God's will, it needs to fit in how God designed you. Amen. All right. And finally, number five, I saw this again in a lot of the charismatic, immature Christians. Is it convicting or is it condemning what you're hearing from the Lord? Is it convicting or is it condemning? Okay. What is the difference between conviction and condemnation? Conviction comes from God, right? Condemnation comes from the devil, from your hurt, from your resentment, from your depression, from your judgment, from your insecurities. Or it could be a bad yogurt that you had last night. Condemnation doesn't, could come from many different places. But conviction comes from the Lord. Conviction is done out of love. Condemnation is not done out of love. It's something that you want to see happen, something that you're frustrated with. It comes from maybe bitterness, it comes from frustration. It could come from jealousy, or it could come from envy. You don't like somebody, or you're bothered by somebody. And that's why I encourage you, if you are bothered, please stay quiet. First work that out first. But if you're bo you know yeah, I saw that in the immature charismatic circle. They're bothered by somebody, and they go to somebody, God told me this. God gave me this dream for you. God, and it's always when you're bothered by somebody, it's always condemning. It's always condemning. You need to do more of this. You're not doing enough of this. And so, when God speaks, okay, it's like a light in the darkness when God speaks. When condemnation, What happens is a dark cloud comes in. A dark cloud comes in. And when I look back, when I was in the charismatic circle, there, many times I got encouraged, but there were some times it really hurt. It was really, and what the feeling that I got, okay, people who prophesy over me, people, who shared visions and dream, when I look back, felt like a dark cloud came into my heart. That's what it felt like. A dark cloud came into my heart. There was guilt. There's more shame. There's bondage. You can't sleep. You can't just let it go. Right? Because there was condemnation. There was condemnation. We're not doing the work of God. We're doing the work of the devil, if that happens. I have known people who say God speaks for them, and they speak mostly condemnation. And they will say, "I know, your secret sins. God's not pleased with you. Your worship is not pleasing. There's a demon influencing you." And I want to challenge. I want to speak this over Catalyst. If somebody does that, don't listen to them. Don't listen to that. Reject it. Because the Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God does not condemn, he convicts. He convicts. If you're thinking I'm worthless, I'm nothing, I'm useless, I'll never change, there's no hope, I should give up, that's not the voice of God, right? I hope we're at a stage in Catalyst when you hear that voice right away, that's not God, right? You're not God, that's not God. Condemnation attacks your value. God never attacks your value. And so I want to challenge, you is that value inside. That's why we, stress inner healing. We stress your identity in Christ, who you are in Christ. Because if you don't know those things, if you're not healed, if you're not set free, your value inside is all broken. And when your value inside is broken, you speak to other people, and you don't value them. Yeah? You don't value them. God never attacks your value. God convicts, Yeah, if there's sins in your life, God will convict. Not so that you become hopeless, condemnation, or that you give up. God convicts because he loves you. He wants you to be healed, be set free, and have a new life. And God convicts. He's speaking all the time to us. But we're afraid, and we condemn. No. Open up your heart to God's conviction. No matter how bad you feel, that's when you really need the conviction of God, because he's not going to come with condemnation, but with conviction. That's going to help you to change. He will forgive you. He will show you his grace, but he will also show you his power to change. So, church, God is not out to, when he's talking about my sheep hears my voice, it's not out to trick you, or hide things from you, because God loves you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to speak to you. God cares about every area of your life. Matthew 10, verse 30 says, God numbers the hair on your head. He numbers the hair. I just cut my own hair again, and there's all this on the floor. He numbered all those hairs that I just, washed away and just, just put in the garbage. He numbers those hairs. God knows you. What that past verse is saying, God knows you intimately. He is your creator. He knows better than what to do in your life, where you should go, your purpose, your destiny. He knows your pain better than you. He knows your brokenness better than you. And because of this, we need to trust him. If you believe this, I just want to close with this in Hebrews 10. This is Jesus. He says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me with burnt offering and sin offering. You were not pleased. You were not pleased." Then I said, and this is what I want us to do as a church. Jesus said this, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God." Right? So let's do that as a church. Hubert, I don't know if you fixed it, but if you could just play some background music. Let's submit ourselves to the Lord. Just proclaim, repeat after me, "I have come to do your will, O God." Okay? I have come to do your will, O God. And so, Holy Spirit, right now, whatever we are seeking, that's from our own desire, our frustration, our flesh, or that's lies, that's from stress and people's opinion. Lord, silence all those voices right now. Silence all those voices. Instead, Lord, you speak to us as a church. Speak to me, Lord, as your disciple. Okay, let's worship the Lord.